Okay, this morning we are going to be veering off from our traditional shiur of Chasidus on the Parsha, and we're going to be focusing on the Haggadah, as we are just a few days before Pesach, and Pesach is what's on everybody's mind, and often in the midst of all of our cooking and cleaning and making sure we have everything we need, it's easy to arrive at the Seder feeling like frazzled, harried messes, and not feeling like we've come spiritually prepared for the Haggadah experience, for the Seder experience that we desire. So we are taking the time this morning to veer off from the Parsha, but to stay within the Kedushas Levi and discuss some of the Kedushas Levi's ideas on the Seder itself. Now, his ideas on the Seder may be different from what we are traditionally used to as short Vortlach on the Haggadah that are easy to pick up on one word in the Haggadah, ask a question, and give a quick answer. His, as with his commentary on the Parsha, will give us more of a deep insight, a klal about Yiddishkeit in general that can be learned through a specific piece in the Haggadah. And you will notice that the three pieces of the Haggadah that I chose to focus on all happen pretty early on in the Seder. And you might ask, why not spread it out? One from the beginning, one from the middle, one from the end. And it's because even though these ideas are slightly more deep, slightly more esoteric, of course, we will try to make them as practical as possible. In the delivery, I wanted it to be as practical as possible. And I personally, nothing against Divrei Torah from the end of the Seder, but I have found that the most meaningful discussions always happen in the beginning. And by the time you get to the end, very few people are interested. You may be interested in learning it before Pesach, but very few people are interested in an extended Dvar Torah on Chag Gadya. You might be different. Your Seder might be different, but that's just from my experience. So we are going to be sharing three Divrei Torah from the earlier piece of Maggid that I think can add depth to your Seder experience and also hopefully apply and enhance your Yiddishkeit in general. So let's get started. Again, the source sheet is in the chat. The first piece that we are going to discuss is on Halach Ma'anya. This is how we open up Maggid with a statement of Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of our affliction, referencing the matzah. And we go on to include anyone who is in need in our Seder experience. Kol dich v'nyeseh v'yechol, kol ditrich yeseh v'yefsach. Anyone who is lacking, let them come and join us. Anyone who needs, let them come and partake in our Seder. So this is how we begin Maggid. And the Kedushas Levi begins his writing on Pesach as well with Halach Ma'anya. So this is the bread of our affliction. V'yivo'ar bazeh ma'amar chazal. Through this statement of Halach Ma'anya, we are going to explore a statement of Chazal. Bizman she'Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. At a time when the Jewish people are serving the will of Hashem, Nikra'in banim, we are called the children of Hashem. V'kishe ein osin ritzono shel makom, and rachmana litzlan, when we are not following in the ways of Hashem, nikra'in avadim, we are called servants. L'chora eino muvan, however, this does not seem to be understandable. Kishe ein osin ritzono shel makom, chas v'shalom heim risha'im chas v'shalom. It says, it's understandable that when we are following the will of Hashem, we are considered to be his children. However, the piece that is not understandable is the second piece in this Ma'amar Chazal, which is that when we are not fulfilling Ritzono Shel Makom, we are called the servants of Hashem. Don't we strive to be the servants of Hashem? Don't we always desire that through meticulously following in Hashem's ways, we should be considered Ovdei Hashem? How does it make sense that when we are eino osin ritzono shel makom, when we are not doing what Hashem wants from us, that's when we are considered to be avadim? We're not worthy of being called servants of Hashem. We are not following what Hashem wants us to do. We should be called, chas v'shalom in that moment, risha'im, those that aren't following in Hashem's ways. That would be more understandable. So how can we be called servants when we are not doing ritzono shel makom? V'hanir'ah. So he gives us a concept to understand that will help us to understand this question and in turn be applied to Halach Ma'anya. Dehinei, kishadam ma'amin be'emuna shlema, shehakadosh baruch hu avinu v'yesh lo ta'anig, kishemashpia tovot alamo Yisrael. When a person believes be'emuna shleima, with a full level of belief and trust in God, shehakadosh baruch hu avinu, that Hashem is our Father, v'yesh lo ta'anug, and he gets pleasure and enjoyment, kishemashpia tovot al amo Yisrael, when he is able to provide goodness for the Jewish people, ka'asher hayicholet biyado latit tovot l'chol ha'olamot, as he is able to do with all of the nations, as ha'adam eino chaser klum, then a person is not lacking anything. V'kishayivakish min ha'kadosh baruch hu l'rachim al amo, bivadai ha'kadosh baruch hu yimalei ritzono. And if he asks for something on behalf of the Jewish people, of course Hashem is going to provide it. So the Kedushas Levi is providing us with a very interesting perspective. He says, what brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu the ultimate pleasure? And of course, this is all kivyachol. Hashem is not physical. Hashem does not feel physical pleasure. But we talk about, in a sense, that when we do what Hashem wants us to do, when we understand Hashem in the deepest of ways, that in essence brings enjoyment or pleasure in the way that is possible for him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, what brings Hashem the greatest pleasure is being able to be mashpia tovot al amo Yisrael, to pour down on the Jewish people what they desire. I think that this is limashal, like a grandparent and a grandchild. What brings a grandparent the ultimate pleasure is being able to make the grandchildren happy. A parent might feel a little differently. They feel the requirement to discipline and to teach the kids what they need, what they don't need. But a grandparent being able to provide what will make their grandchild the most happy, that's what brings them the ultimate pleasure. That I always get embarrassed when my children go up to their grandparents and they say, can you buy me this? But when the grandparents are able to go out and they're able to look around for the thing that's exactly what the child asked for, and then they are able to provide that for the child, and the child gets the biggest smile on their face, and they're so happy that their grandparent loved them enough to go find this exact thing that they wanted, that brings the grandparents the ultimate nachas. Only I'm left feeling embarrassed. They're left happy. The child's left happy. All is good in the world. So what he's explaining to us is that Hashem is the same way. Hashem wants nothing more than to be able to give the Jewish people everything that they want, to be able to pour down on them tovos, that they should have all good things raining down upon them. And he said, what is the highest level of understanding Hashem? Is when one has this awareness that one relates to their avodas Hashem, it, with the understanding that Hashem desires to do nothing other than good for them. That Hashem wants to pour down goodness upon us. And that through allowing Hashem to give us the ultimate good, we are bringing Hashem the ultimate pleasure. So he says, V'zeh haremez b'pasuk, tamim tihiyah im Hashem Elokecha. This concept is alluded to in the pasuk of tamim tihiyah im Hashem Elokecha, Kilomar ata tihiya tamim, bilti chaser shum davar kishetihiya im Hashem Elokecha. This is saying to us that you will be tamim, you will be complete, without any lacking, kishetihiya im Hashem Elokecha, when you are fully connected to Hashem, and you really understand Hashem and his ways, you will not be lacking for anything. Aval, kishadam einu ma'amim badeh. When a person does not believe this, does not believe that Hashem wants to give him good always, as hu chaser, then he is lacking. He will not realize to ask Hashem for everything that he desires. Ki einu oseh ritzon Hashem yisparach lahashpia alinu tovot, because he is not giving Hashem the opportunity to give us all of the good. So what this Kedushas Levi is doing is taking avodas Hashem away from the idea of just performing mitzvot and avoiding aviros. He is saying that full avodas Hashem includes doing ratzon hamakom in those areas, fulfilling all of the positive commandments, keeping away from all of the negative commandments. But he says it also includes having a full understanding of how Hashem wants to interact with us in this world. And by recognizing that Hashem wants to always give us good, you will then interact with Hashem in that way. That you will do what Hashem wants and you will act towards Hashem in a way that will allow him to do what he wants towards us, which is to give us good. And therefore, you will be tamim, you will be complete. But if you do not recognize that this is how Hashem wants to interact with us, then there is going to be a lacking in your avodas Hashem, because Hashem is not going to be able to interact with us in the way that he wants to. Vizehu remez lach ma'anya. This is what is alluded to in the statement of halach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. Ki Yisrael b'mitzrayim hayu b'bechina k'tana vizehu lach ma'anya. Because Bnei Yisrael in Egypt were in a very small spiritual state. They had a very limited spiritual view and understanding of their relationship with Hashem. And this is the bread, this is the matzah that signifies their anios, their poverty in terms of their avodas Hashem. That when they lived in Mitzrayim, they were only able to serve Hashem in a very transactional way. They didn't understand that Hashem wanted to interact with them in a certain way, and they were not at that level. They were in an impoverished level of serving Hashem. That this is our bread of affliction. Madar koshal ani beprusa, ki prusa hu lashon chisaron. That he says that an ani, someone who is impoverished, not here, we're not talking monetarily impoverished, but we're talking about spiritually impoverished. They only have a tiny bit. They only have a fraction of what is available to them. So let's tie this back to our question. If we look back at the statement of Chazal, that when we fulfill Ratzon Hashem, then we are banim, then we are children. And if we don't fulfill Ratzon Hashem, then we are considered to be avadim. Why are we considered to be avadim if we are not fulfilling Ratzon Hashem? So what it's saying here is it's not talking about doing mitzvot and avoiding averos. In that terms, you are doing both of those in both of these situations. So you are not considered a rasha. You are still doing the mitzvot. You are still avoiding the averos. But it's saying, how are you considered to be an eved? You are considered to be an eved versus a child because of the way that you are approaching your avodas Hashem. A child wants to serve and interact with their parents in the greatest possible way. They want to go above and beyond for their parents to make them happy, to bring them joy, to give them nachas. However, an eved only wants to fulfill the bare minimum, only what is required of them, and that creates an entirely different relationship. So when we are able to relate to Hashem, understanding and acknowledging that he wants to give us all of the good in the world, that's when we have the full-fledged, proper relationship with Hashem of being banim lamakum, of being children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we only have a limited understanding of our relationship with Hashem, we are in an impoverished state in terms of our understanding how Hashem wants to relate to us, then there is a lacking and we are considered to only be like avadim. So how does this then connect back to halach ma'anya? What can be our takeaway for this piece of the Seder? The idea that we should not serve Hashem only like an eved, but like a child. That we begin this paragraph by saying halach ma'anya. This is where we came from, this state of anios, this state of poverty. Halach ma'anya, this is where we came from. However, kol dich vin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yesach. We are now moving into a new stage where we are not in a state of poverty. We are in a state of wealth, not only in terms of now we can share our Seder with other people, but now spiritually we are wealthy. We have a greater understanding of Hashem. We are able to relate to Hashem in a much broader way as a Jewish people. And therefore, we want to move past the poverty and we want to share with others. We want to serve Hashem in a grandiose way so that we can be like children to Hashem and no longer avadim. We have left our state of being servants. And now we are moving on to bigger and better. We are sharing with others. We are bringing other people in. There is a generosity because we are now wealthy in our avodas Hashem. And we are starting Magid with that statement of we have moved on from the slavery and the poverty. And we have now moved into a greater state of serving and understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So serve Hashem as a child and not as a servant. Okay, that was piece number one. We're now going to move on to piece number two, which speaks about the Manishtana, the four questions. So it's source number two on the source sheet. B'Pesach HaBen Shoel Manishtana. Arguably, one of the most iconic pieces of the Seder is the Manishtana, the four questions. And it says, on Pesach, the son asks, Manishtana HaLayla HaZeh Mikol HaLeilos. On Pesach, the son asks, what is different between tonight and all other nights? What is different about tonight? The lama dafka shoal haben pesach ve'eino shoal besukis ma'anashana. It asks a very, very basic question that doesn't even delve into the words of Ma'anashana, but the premise of Ma'anashana itself. Now, the Kedushas Levi asks, why are we asking Ma'anashana specifically on Pesach and not, let's say, on Sukkot? Okay, you might say on Pesach we're sitting down to the Seder table and there's all of these symbols and there's what to ask about. But is there not what to ask about on Sukkot as well? We leave our houses, we erect this structure outside of our homes. No matter the weather, we head outside and we decorate and we hold up these palm leaves and lemon-looking fruits. And trust me, there's plenty to ask about on Sukkot as well. So the question is, why are we specifically asking Ma'anashana on Pesach and not on Sukkot? So he says, in order to answer, we have to preface with an explanation of a debate that takes place in the Gemara. Haklal, ki yesh plugta b'Gemara, there is a debate that happens in the Gemara. Chadamar b'Nisan nivra ha'olam. One side of the argument states that the world was created in Nisan. V'chadamar b'Tishrei nivra ha'olam. The other side of the argument states that the world was created in Tishrei. V'hine yesh shnei hanhagot sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu minhin ka'olam. So there is a debate in the Gemara about when the world was created. Was it created in Tishrei or was it created in Nisan? What is the premise for this argument? The idea that there are multiple Rosh Hashanah on the Jewish calendar. We know that there is the Rosh Hashanah that we observe in Tishrei. However, numerically, the months are counted from the month of Nisan. As we read in Parshas HaChodesh just a week ago, HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim, that this month should be for you the first of all of the months, that Hashem commands us, the Chodesh Nisan should be the first of the months. So therefore, this question comes up, is the world created in Nisan, or was the world created in Tishrei? V'hinei yesh shnei hanhagot sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu minhi ka'olam. And in order to answer this question, there is the suggestion that it connects to the fact that Hashem runs the world in two different ways. On the one hand, Hashem leads the world through his divine kindness and generosity. That the second way that Hashem runs the world is through what will bring the most glory to Bnei Yisrael. So one side is through chesed, and being able to give over to the world. And the second is through Tiferes Yisrael, in a way that will glorify the Jewish people. Sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitpa'er atzmo im amo Yisrael, that Hashem glorifies himself with the Jewish people. Ve'osa ratonam l'hashpia lahem tovot ka'asher yivakshu milafanav. And that he fulfills whatever the Jewish people ask from him. So on the one hand, there is chesed, and on the other hand, there is tiferet, there is glory. And these are two sort of considerations when Hashem runs the world. Which of them Hashem is going to employ in order to give the world and give the Jewish people what they need? V'zehu haremez b'pasuk, az yashir Moshe et hashira hazot l'Hashem. This idea is alluded to in the first pasuk of Az Yashir, Shirat Hayam, that Moshe and the Jewish people sing as they are leaving Egypt. Haremez zehashira atzma asher amru Yisrael zehashira atzma sar v'amar Hashem. The verse implies that the same song sung by the Jewish people was then sung and recited by Hashem. What does that mean? Keshehakadosh Baruch Hu manhig et ha'olam al yedei tiferes Yisrael. Because when Hashem navigates and runs the world via tiferet Yisrael, the glory of the Jewish people. Then how does it work in that case that the Jewish people make requests from Hashem and Hashem runs the world according to their requests? Okay, of course, this is a more complicated idea. That what does that mean that Hashem is responsive to what we want in the way in which we want him to run the world? But what it means is that there is a certain aspect of, as we discussed in the last piece, that Hashem wants to do what we want from him. Hashem wants to make us happy. Hashem wants to bring us pleasure. As our father, Hashem wants to give us all of the goodness that he can. So there's this aspect of Tiferes Yisrael where the Jewish people can instruct or ask Hashem for what they want, and Hashem will do according to their will. Vizehu haremez b'gemara, and this is what is alluded to in the Gemara. Chadamar b'nisa nivra ha'olam. One states that the world was created in Nisan. Ki ben Nisan hu hanhagasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhig haolam al yedei Tiferes Yisrael. Because this mechanism through which Hashem runs the world, according to Tiferes Yisrael, what will bring the most glory to the Jewish people, was the mechanism which was instituted in Nisan. Lekach hayu lahem liYisrael nisim v'nifla'us gedolim b'zeh haChodesh. That's why the greatest miracles and salvations for the Jewish people happen in this month. V'chan amar, b'tishrei nivra haolam, and the other opinion suggests that the world was created in Tishrei. Zehu hanagasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhig haolam b'chasto hagadol. This is the way that we think more typically of the way that Hashem runs the world, not for our sake and our glory, but through his tremendous divine loving kindness. V'nimtza ilu ve'ilu divrei Elokim chayim, and we find that both of these are correct in terms of how Hashem runs the world. V'zehu haremez shehaben shoel b'pesach. This is what is alluded to when the child asks on Pesach, Ki be'emet zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhig olamo al yedei Tiferes Yisrael. The fact is that Hashem does run the world via Tiferet Yisrael, what will bring the most glory to the Jewish people. Hu zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzamtzim et atzmo ba'avodas amu Yisrael. This, when Hashem runs the world through Tiferes Yisrael, bringing glory to the Jewish people, this is Hashem being mitzamtzim atzmo. He is minimizing himself in order to interact with the Jewish people in this way. V'yesh lo ta'anu gadol mizen. Hashem receives great enjoyment from this. U'bazem imalei ritzonam d'chavtzam. And through this, Hashem fulfills their wills and desires. U'ledugmaze hu she'ilat ha'ben la'av. This is comparable to when a child asks a question from a father. Ki seichal ha'av gadol mi seichal ha'ben. Rak la'avas ha'av v'ha'ben, la'ha'ben mitzamsim atzmo ha'av, la'hashiv tshuva al kushiyat ha'ben. That a child has less capacity and less knowledge than his father. And when a child asks a question of his father, the father must be mitzamsim atzmo, must minimize himself in order to explain the question to the child in the way in which the child can understand. That this is the so too, Hashem minimizes himself in order to interact with us in the way in which we need Hashem to interact with us, in order for us to understand Hashem and understand the way that he is interacting with us in this world. So what does this have to do with our initial question? So we said that when Hashem interacts with the Jewish people, he is being mitzamtzim himself. He is minimizing himself. Hashem is so much greater than anything we would be able to see, understand, or comprehend. So when we ask for something from Hashem, we ask for a miracle, we ask for a favor, we ask for an answer to our tefillos, that is forcing Hashem to be mitzamtzim himself, to minimize himself. However, as we said, this idea that that is one of the ways that Hashem runs the world was the idea that was actually created in the month of Nisan. That when Hashem responded to our pleas, he is actually minimizing himself. Hashem's power is so much greater than anything we can possibly understand. So asking Hashem for a specific miracle to take us out of Egypt, something so minute compared to the enormity of Hashem's capabilities, that is Hashem demonstrating to us how he runs the world through this mechanism of Tiferes Yisrael, what will bring the greatest glory to the Jewish people. So he says, Pesach is the time in which Hashem shows that he is responsive to our questions. And therefore, we try to mimic this relationship through the way that we run the Seder, that we run the Seder through questions and answers, questions and answers. We should see, and the son and the father should feel the way that when the son comes up with a question, the father is forced to call upon his knowledge and then minimize it down so that it is befitting to the child. And this is the way that Hashem responds to us as well. And through the experiential nature of going through the Seder in this way, asking questions and seeing how the father takes his enormous knowledge and distills it down in a way that the child can understand, we can then come to have a further appreciation of how Hashem interacts with us. So why on Pesach and not on Sukkot? Because this is the time of year in which this way of us interacting with Hashem was created. At Yetzias Mitzrayim was the way in which we saw this in the most concentrated way. So on Sukkot, we could ask that question as well. But it's not instated as part of the liturgy of the day. It's not instated as part of the holiday itself, because it is not the specific message that we need to learn at that time of year. Rather, going through this process of questioning and receiving answers will help us to understand the way that Hashem began to interact with us on Pesach. And that is why we navigate the Seder in that way, through questions and answers. And we then are able to extrapolate from that experience and understand the way that Hashem interacts with us. So that was idea number two on the Manish Tana, that we are going through this questioning and answering process in order to understand how Hashem interacts with us as a all-powerful and omniscient God, and us as small, tiny human beings. So that was idea number two. Now, idea number three skips ahead a tiny bit, not so far, to the idea of the matzah, and specifically based on the question of the wise son. Again, the Haggadah tells us, Kenegan arba banim dibra Torah, the Torah speaks to four sons, calling upon different psukim in the Torah and curating it into this succinct paragraph in which we talk about how the Torah filters the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim via different types of children. Hold on a second. Via different types of children. So we are going to focus in on the question of the wise son. So Chacha Mahu Omer, the wise son, what does he ask? Maha idot v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. He says, what are these rules and laws and ordinances that Hashem has commanded you? And we answer him, in maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen, that after you eat from the afikomen, you cannot have any additional dessert. The matzah, the taste of the matzah, is what should linger with you, that we shouldn't distill down the taste of the afikomen with anything afterwards. So many, many questions can and have been asked on this question. Why is that specifically the answer that we give him? Why is that the most relevant halacha that we can teach him? What is he really asking through his question? And the Kedushas Levi gives us an interesting insight. And he says, "B'chdei lahavin kushiyat haben chacham, in order to understand the question of the wise son, v'shayachut hatirut, and the applicability of the answer of ein maftirin, lehakushya, Nekadim haktama achad. We need a little bit of introduction. Vizohu. He named milat matzah. He says it comes from the root of the word matzah. He says, what is matzah? It says, ve'inyanahu mure al chidah sha'ola. He says matzah gives testimony to the constant renewal of the world. And you're like, wow, that was a big jump. We go from this piece of matzah that is on our table to the constant chidash ha'olam, this idea that Hashem is constantly renewing the world. Sheyesh olam mechadish baro, that there is a God who created the world and is constantly renewing it. Me'efes ha'muchlat ve'hamtzi yesh me'ayin, that there is the Hashem who created the world from nothing. Yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. And v'ham tzi yesh me'ayin, and the fact that it exists is yesh me'ayin, is something from nothing. Mitziut is existence, like matzah, mitziut, existence. Ki lashon chamitz, he said the language of chamitz, hu milashon in machmitzin et hadin, o in machmitzin et hamitzvah. He says, the language of chametz, on the other hand, is from this language of machmitzin, to allow something to spoil, to allow something to wait. Shepitrono in mashehin nimtzasha chametz in yano davar yashan. That he says, in essence, chametz is something that is old. That when we say in machmitzin et hadin, we don't let judgment wait. In machmitzin et hamitzvah, we don't allow a mitzvah to wait. We say that anything that has to do with chametz is something that is old. The hahipach u'matzah, and the opposite is matzah. Ritono lamar davar mechudash, that matzah is something that in essence is new, is quick. There is no such thing as matzah that has taken a long time to make. There is no complicated recipe for matzah. The longest amount of time you can cook matzah is 18 whole minutes. Because if you go above that, it's now chametz. It's now taken too long. It's now old. Okay. It says the fermentation process, like to create something like challah, anything that's chametz, is something that takes time. If anyone's ever spoken to somebody who makes sourdough, it is like the longest process. And I can never imagine spending so much time on making one loaf of bread. But people love it and it's delicious. But it takes so long. Matzah is something that is made with great alacrity and without delay. V'horlani yotzrinu b'mitzvas matzah. With the commandment to eat matzah, Hashem is teaching us an important lesson. Sheyish mechadish et ha'olam. That He is constantly renewing the world. V'chol yom u'v'chol rega hu mechadish et olamo kirtzono. He renews the world according to His will. As we say, ha'mechadish b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid. That every single day Hashem renews the world. Kasher asabi yitzias mitzrayim. Sheheflila shelo kederach hateva. That as was done during Yitzias Mitzrayim, during the leaving of Egypt, that Hashem was doing this, lo kederach hateva, Hashem was creating new rules for nature. Hashem was going against what had been set in place previously. Everything was new. Everything was different. Ki kol ha-makot ha-asara hayu shelo kederach hateva. All of the makos went against derech hateva, the way of nature. What happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim was showing us in real time the way that Hashem is mechadesh b'chol yom, the way that Hashem is constantly renewing the earth. Because if the earth was just something that Hashem had created and then just allowed to run, there would have been no way to perform the makos. There would have been no way for it to be different, because Hashem would have just created the world and left. Rather, the fact that Hashem created the makos that go against derech hateva show us that Hashem is constantly renewing the world. Hashem is constantly creating it anew. V'kasher nida zeyedi'a berura. And once we understand this clearly, it is so clear to us. Lo nazuz yadinu v'raglinu lasot shum davar ki im ma shemagia l'chvod shemo yisparach v'yitzala. And when we really focus on this and we recognize and we see how clearly Hashem is showing us that He is renewing our world every single day. He is constantly guiding the world and recreating the world. Our understanding of Hashem becomes so clear. V'yish lanu lira mimenu. And of course, we must fear Hashem, yiras harumimus, and have an awe of His greatness. Begin de'ihu rav v'shalit, and understand how all-powerful He is. Ula ahava oto, and to love Him. Ahava aza, a strong, strong love. Kasher anu ro'im shehu yisparach ohev otanu. When we see how much Hashem loves us, ahavas olam, a love that lasts forever. That when we really zero in on what happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we see it is really just one example of how Hashem is constantly renewing and refreshing the earth for us. We understand how much Hashem loves us, and we grow to love Hashem and to be in awe of all of His greatness. V'ein lahakshot de'imkein, hayalanu la'achol matzah kol hashana. And then one might ask, why then are we not required to eat matzah throughout the entire year? If it has such a strong message that comes along with it, this message of Hashem being mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid, then why aren't we commanded to eat matzah every single day? Kfar hirgishu chachaminu zechronam levracha b'kushiyah zo b'zefer ha-zohar. Says our chachamim already dealt with this question in the Zohar. V'tertzu didai lanu b'ha'ara achad l'kol hashana. And they suggested that perhaps one instance of eating matzah is enough to last us for the entire year. V'hu ha'din b'nidon didan. And of course, this is the din that we don't actually eat matzah the entire year. Rather, once a year, we eat matzah, and it should serve as a reminder for this. However, aval, ikashya hakashya. There is a question to be asked, and it's not exactly why we should be eating matzah the entire year. He says there's still a question that stands, and it's not that one. We understand why we eat matzah once a year. The question is, delamalanu l'rishmem chet mitzvos ase. He says the question is not why we don't eat matzah all year. He says the question really is why we even need the 248 other positive commandments. Haloha mitzvos nikra imbezohar hakadosh rishmem chet iten. Aren't the positive commandments called in the Zohar the 248 bits of advice? What does this mean? Ratzalomar reishmem chet etzot lavo al yedehem liyiras habore v'ahavaso. That all of the positive commandments are really hints and ways to push us towards loving Hashem and fearing Hashem, and they are all different ideas as to how we can reach this awareness and this love of God. V'mikra malehu l'ma'an tolmad l'irasas Hashem Elokecha kol hayamim. And indeed, this is explicitly stated when it comes to mitzvos, that they are l'ma'an l'irasas Hashem Elokecha, so you should come to be in awe of Hashem kol hayamim, all the days of your lives. Shekula haTorah v'haMitzvos b'chdei lavo al yedehem ligiras harumimus v'ahava. That all of Torah mitzvos were given to us so that we can cultivate an, a love and an awe of Hashem. So is everyone following? The idea is that matzah contains within it this very strong allusion to how we are meant to understand Hashem, that Hashem is mechadish betuvo b'chol yom tamid, that Hashem in his divine power is constantly renewing and refreshing and recreating the world every single day. So if the matzah is reminding us of that, shouldn't we eat matzah every single day of the year? And the answer that's given is no, we only need to eat matzah once a year, and it's strong enough. The message is meant to carry over. However, then the question is, why then do we need the 248 other positive commandments when the Zohar, but also the Torah itself tells us that the positive commandments are meant to help us develop an awe and a love of Hashem. So why do we need all of these other mitzvos if we have the mitzvah of matzah? Shouldn't it be that once a year, just like a booster shot, on Pesach we come and we eat the matzah and it infuses us with this love and this awe of Hashem, and we're then able to carry that throughout the entire year? Why do we need all of the other positive commandments? V'lama lanu kol zeh? Hallo dailanu bimitzvot matzah hamora al chiddush ha'olam bechol rega ubiyado nefesh kol chai v'ruach kol basar v'ish. Wouldn't it be enough to just have the matzah? V'hatirutz bazeh, kivan shenochal echad l'kol achar kach chamitz, chashach karuv hu shenishkach al hadavar v'yivatel ha'arash shel Pesach. The fear is that yes, matzah contains within it this super strong message for us. However, after Pesach finishes, we all know, you feel like you've been eating matzah forever. You feel like all you can remember eating in the recent past is Pesach food. Nobody remembers that they even ate anything before that. And then as soon as Pesach is over, it's as if Pesach never existed. You go back to your chametz, and within 1 minute, everything has changed over, and you are back to your chametz lifestyle. So the fear was that the matzah contains within it this extremely strong lesson about Chiddush HaOlam, about how Hashem created the world and continues to recreate the world. However, we are going to move on from the matzah, and we are going to go back to eating the chametz. And the fear was that with eating chametz, the entire message of Pesach and the message of the matzah would be lost on us. V'zehu she'ilat ha-ben chacham. And this is truly the question of the ben chacham. Ma ha'itot v'hachukim v'chulei. Dai lanu b'mitzvah zeh shel matzah. The Chacham is asking, I see this matzah in front of me, and I see how strong the message of it is. Why do we have all of the rest of the edos and the chukim and the mishpatim? Why do we need all of the other rules? Is it matzah enough? Dehalom yimenu anu lomdim li rav ahavas Hashem hanechbar hagadol v'hanora. From the matzah, don't we learn strongly enough that Hashem is great and all-powerful and almighty? And what, therefore, is the need for all of the other eidos and chukim and mishpatim? And to him we answer then with this idea of ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. We do not eat anything after the taste of the afikomen. Ratza lomar da'achar ha-pesach da'afka hu de'ein ochlim klum. After we eat from the Karban Pesach, we don't eat anything else. Aval achar kach, nochal chametz. But after this, we are going to eat chametz. V'chol sheshin shema yiyeh nigrarim achar hayetzer. And we worry that at that point, we are going to stray after our yetzer hara. That we are only able to safeguard this taste of the matzah within Pesach itself. That the matzah does work at the time and place in which we utilize it. That it is an amazing power. It is like the booster shot. However, even though we don't eat after the afikomen, even though we try to keep that taste of the matzah in our mouths as long as possible, we are still after Pesach going to go back to eating chametz, and we fear that within the chametz, all of the lessons are going to be lost, and therefore throughout the year we employ all of these other mitzvos to bring us back to that heightened awareness that we had when we were eating the matzah. That really, it's all based in the lesson of matzah, and what we do throughout the rest of the year stems off of the lessons of matzah. That throughout the rest of the year, we are trying to consistently reinforce the messages that we learned from the matzah, that Hashem is ever-present in our lives, that Hashem is mechadish betuvo v'chol yom tamid, that Hashem is constantly refreshing and recreating the world. So when the Chacham is asking, he's asking a really intelligent question. Isn't matzah enough to give us what we need for the entire year? And we teach him that at the time when we're able to preserve the taste, it's perfect. But once there's so many outside influences and outside factors, we need other reminders that come up consistently. It's not enough once a year. And I think that this is an extremely powerful lesson for our Avodas Hashem. Sometimes we go through a very powerful spiritual experience and we feel like now we're good. We davened Yom Kippur. We had that really meaningful ne'ilah. And that should be enough. We should be supercharged for the rest of the year. We should be motivated. We have all of our goals that are going to carry us through the year in terms of our Avodas Hashem. And then along comes regular everyday life. And we maybe don't daven as often as we think we would. And we maybe are not as careful in certain areas as we wish we would have been. And slowly we find ourselves bogged down and distracted from what we knew so clearly our goal was when we are emerging from the Ilah. And the idea here is that Hashem understands that this is part of human nature. That when you are still immersed within the experience, it's easy to hold onto. The taste is still in your mouth. But when there are so many outside factors, you need the constant reload, the constant regroup, you need the constant hints and connections to what your ultimate goal was. That you have to work with who you are as a human being and give yourself the opportunity to be successful by not one time a year replugging and recharging, but consistently giving ourselves those boosts of spirituality. So I think that that's an important one to leave us with as we finish off our discussion this morning of the Haggadah. Is that sometimes we feel like we sat down at the Seder and we had such an amazing Seder and we talked about so many beautiful ideas in terms of Ge'ula and in terms of Hashem's relationship with us and understanding and really feeling how much Hashem loves us and understanding the miracles that he did for us. And then we move on because we're human beings. But to remind ourselves that it is important to give ourselves those check-in points, those things that make us feel like we're having a Seder moment, whether it's a consistent learning, whether it's adding one thing that is in our everyday lives that helps us feel like we boosted our spirituality. We can't rely on once a year and then feel badly about ourselves when we stray from our goals. We need to give ourselves very small, attainable checkpoints throughout our everyday lives that make us feel connected to the feelings that we have in these great, intense moments. So again, the first idea that we discussed was on Halach Ma'anya, that we need to move on. We are acknowledging that we have moved on from an impoverished state of worshiping to Hashem in onto a greater form of worshiping Hashem, in which we are not like servants, but rather we are like children, looking to serve Hashem, not with the bare minimum, but in the greatest possible way, which is understanding that we have to allow Hashem to provide good for us and that Hashem wants to provide the ultimate good for us. The second idea that we discussed was, why do we ask the Manas Tana on Pesach and not on Sukkot? And it's because a new understanding of how Hashem interacts with us in the world was created on Pesach, that we understand that Hashem responds to what we request from him. That it's not just that Hashem does for the world and it is disconnected from who we are as Am Yisrael, but rather that as Am Yisrael, Hashem loves us and wants to give us what we desire. So we recognize that at the Seder, but we also recognize that that is a totally different way of Hashem interacting with us. And we simulate that experience of Hashem minimizing himself to interact with us in that way through the question and answer process between child and parent. That we understand that in the same way, a parent has to minimize their knowledge in order to fit what the child will understand, so too Hashem has to minimize himself in order to interact with us in a way in which we will comprehend. And lastly, the third idea was on the question of the Chacham. The why do we tell the Chacham, She'im aftirin achar pesach afikumen, that we say that there are such strong lessons that we can learn from the matzah. That the Chacham is asking, why do we need any other mitzvos? Why can't we just have matzah? And the answer we give him is, Ein maftirin achar pesach afikumen. After we finish eating the matzah, we don't eat anything else. We keep that taste in our mouth as long as possible. But ultimately, what is practically going to happen is we are going to return to eating chametz. And at that point, we are going to need regular, consistent reminders throughout our lives to stay connected to the lessons of the matzah, so that it is vital for us to understand that and internalize that idea, that just like with the matzah, it's not enough to sustain us throughout the entire year, so too with all of our other goals and ideas that we wish to remain connected to within Avodas Hashem. We can't just have those supercharged moments. We have to have regular and consistent checkpoints throughout the entire year that can help us boost that spirituality and stay committed to our goals in our avodah session.